Good evening. I wanted to thank Cole Curry for coming this morning and preaching an amazing lesson on God's authority. It ties very well into my sermon, so thanks to him. But this morning we'll be talking, or this evening, we'll be talking on God's pattern for worship. We see how God was worshipped in both the Old Testament and the New, according to his will. Those who worshipped outside his will was not obedient worship. It was in vain. It was either they added to what he commanded or they took away from what God commanded. The main text this evening is John chapter 4, verse 23 through 24. John chapter 4, verse 23 through 24. You worship what you do not know. We know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews. But the hour is coming, and now is, when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For the Father is seeking such to worship him. God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship in spirit and in truth. Worship is not a human invention. It is a divine instruction given from the beginning of time. And God has always shown man how he wants to be worshipped. Yet throughout history, man has often replaced God's patterns with his own preferences. For example, Cain and Abel both brought offerings to God. Genesis chapter 4, verse 3 through 5. But only Abel's was accepted. Why? Because Abel offered his sacrifice by faith. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 4. That means he followed God's revealed pattern. Romans chapter 10, verse 17. The same principle applies to us today. Our worship must not be based on tradition, entertainment, or emotion, but upon truth. Romans chapter 10, verse 17. God is the same today as he was then. It doesn't change, and he will forever remain the same. This evening, let us study God's pattern for worship and what it means to worship in spirit and in truth, and how that pattern applies to every act of Christian worship. First, worship must be directed to the right object, God. Many people worship sincerely, but sincerity alone doesn't make worship right. Jesus said in John chapter 4, verse 22, "You worship what you do not know. We know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews." Worship is only valid when it is directed towards the one true God, not toward idols, not towards self, and not towards man. Paul reminded the Ephesians in Acts chapter 17, verse 23 through 25, that God does not dwell in temples made with hands, nor is he worshipped with men's hands, as though he needed anything. God is the creator and sustainer. He is the object of our adoration. To follow God's pattern, we must remember who worship is about. Not us, but is about him. Second, worship must be according to the right authority. Colossians chapter 3, verse 17 says, "And whatever you do, in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus." That means by his authority. In the Old Testament, Brother Cole covered this morning. In the Old Testament, Nadab and Abihu offered profane fire before the Lord. Fire that God had not commanded them. Leviticus chapter 10, verse 1 through 2. Therefore, they died before the Lord. God didn't have to say, "Don't use that fire." It was enough that he specified the kind of fire to use, but when they added to his command, they disobeyed his pattern. Today, many religious groups change God's worship pattern. They add instruments to singing and altering the Lord's Supper or substituting man-made rituals. But God's pattern has never and will never change. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 15, verse 9, "In vain they worship me, teaching as doctrines the commandments of men." If it's not authorized in Scripture, it's not acceptable to God. Thirdly, worship must be in spirit. To worship in spirit means to worship with the right heart, sincerity, devotion, and understanding. Worship isn't about going through the rituals or checking off the box. Jesus commanded those who honored God with their lips while their hearts were far from Him. Matthew chapter 15, verse 8. Paul said in Philippians chapter 3, verse 3, "For we are the circumcision who worship God in the Spirit, rejoice in Jesus Christ, and have no confidence in the flesh." True worship engages the inner self, our thoughts, emotions, and will directed towards God. When we sing, we should mean the words, Ephesians chapter 5, verse 19. When we pray, we should focus our hearts. And when we take the Lord's Supper, we should remember the cross. When we give, we should do so cheerfully. When we hear the word, we should receive it meekly. God's pattern isn't just about the acts of worship. It's about the attitude behind them. Fourth, worship must be in truth. To worship in truth means to worship to God's revealed word. Jesus said in John chapter 17, verse 17, "Sanctify them by your truth. Your word is truth." Every acceptable act of worship is grounded in Scripture. This evening, let's examine real quick the five acts of worship found in the New Testament church. First is singing, Ephesians chapter 5, verse 19, following with Colossians chapter 3, verse 16. The church is commanded to sing, not play. Every example of music in the New Testament is vocal. God's pattern, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. Second, praying. Acts chapter 2, verse 42, and 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 17. The early church came together and they prayed regularly. Prayer is a communication with God through Jesus Christ, 1 Timothy 2, 5. Preaching and teaching. Acts chapter 20, verse 7. In 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 23 through 29. Observed on the first day of the week in remembrance of Jesus' death. It is not a common meal, but is a sacred memorial, and it needs to be taken seriously. Giving, 1 Corinthians chapter 16, verse 1 through 2, and following, 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 7. Each Christian is to give as he prospers. Cheerfully, purposefully, to add or subtract, giving is an act of worship. It is not a fundraiser. These are not optional. They are part of the divine pattern given by God. And to add or subtract from these would be to corrupt what God has ordained. Fifth, worship must be done on the right day. It is so important for us as Christians to gather together and worship. The early church met on the first day of the week, Acts chapter 20, verse 7, and 1 Corinthians chapter 16, verse 2. That day was chosen because Jesus rose from the dead on the first day of the week, Mark chapter 16, verse 9. This shows that the time of worship is part of God's pattern. While we can pray or sing anytime, the churches corporate worship, especially the Lord's Supper and giving, was commanded for the Lord's Day. Finally, worship must be done by the right people. God's pattern for worship is for His people, those who are in Christ. In the Old Testament, only priests could enter the holy place. But today, all Christians are a royal priesthood, 1 Peter 2:9. To be part of that priesthood, one must obey the gospel, believing, repenting, confessing, and being baptized into Christ for the remission of sins, Acts 2:38. Only then can we offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ, 1 Peter 2:5. Worship isn't about what pleases us. We shouldn't go to these churches, these false churches, just because it is what pleases us. If they are not doing what God has commanded, following God's revealed pattern, then it's sin. It is not about what pleases us, but it is about what pleases God. When we follow His pattern, worshiping in spirit and in truth, we honor Him as Lord. Therefore, since we are receiving a kingdom which cannot be shaken, let us have grace by which we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 28. This evening, let us be like Abel, who worshipped by faith. Let us reject the example of Nadab and Abihu, who offered what God did not command. Let us be true worshipers, the kind the Father is seeking. This evening, if you need to understand and to come to Christ, this is how you do it. You must hear the word that has been preached to you tonight, Romans 10:17. But you can't just hear the word. You must believe the word, John 20, verse 31. After believing the word, truly believing, you must repent of your sins, changing your mind and turning to God, Luke chapter 13, verse 3. Then you must confess your faith in Christ, Matthew chapter 10, verse 32. You confess that Jesus Christ is the Lord, He is the true Lord, and He is the Son of God, and He is God in the flesh. Then you must be baptized into Christ, Mark 16:16, and Galatians 3:27. I can keep going on, 1 Peter 3:21. That is the only way for you to enter the contact of the blood of Christ. It enters in His death, burial, and resurrection. That is the only way for your sins to be washed. But it doesn't stop. You must remain faithful unto death. And that is living for God and worshiping Him according to His will. If there is anyone here this evening that needs to take on Christ in baptism, I advise that you do so before it is eternally too late. We won't judge you. We are here to help seek and save the lost. Or if there are Christians here that are broken and need restored, do so this evening before it is too late. If you need to respond to the Lord after reflecting on His pattern, please, let's do so now as we stand and as we sing.